Good morning. We have been looking at the letters to the seven churches in Asia in the book of Revelation. We have looked so far at, last week we looked at the letter to the church in Smyrna, and the week before we looked at the letter to the church in Ephesus. In a lot of ways, these were specifically to these churches at that time, with special, the things they needed to hear. But in a lot of ways, the concepts, churches throughout time needed to hear some of those very same things. There have been congregations since then that those words apply to them. They apply to us today. And even broken down on a more personal note, the things that Jesus, through John, is telling these churches, we can take privately. Amen. The information, even though these were written to groups of people, they can apply individually. I'll be reading from the New King James translation, and we are in Revelation 2, starting in verse 12. This is the letter to Pergamos, sometimes referred to as Pergamum. It's there on the Aegean Sea. It's about 50 miles north of Ephesus, where we had looked a couple of weeks ago. And Pergamum had a population, it was a good-sized city. It had about a population of about 200,000 people. And like many of the cities back then, they were steeped in idol worship. The cities of this era, we call it mythology. I remember studying in junior high the Roman and Greek mythology. Well, to a lot of the people at this period of time, it was their lifestyle. It was their religion, what we call mythology today. There was an altar to Jupiter and a temple to Asclepius. He was the god of healing. They had a god and goddess for everything. And ironically, one of the most famous ancient physicians, Galen, was born there, that applied the principles of medicine, even though the god of healing was living there, supposedly. Its library was second only to Alexandria in the world. They had a temple to Augustus, which was not strange. Many of the cities would have temples to the various Caesars of that time. A law was passed where offerings and incense had to be made to the various Caesars of the time. And depending on the location, depending on the when and the where it was, sometimes it was more enforced than others. But refusal oftentimes meant death. That if you did not offer, these offerings to Caesar, you could have been executed. And that did happen in Pergamum. Starting in verse 12, John will record the words of Jesus, and it says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword." Jesus is establishing his credibility and his power with this statement. Before he gets into anything, he's reminding them that the person this letter is from has a sharp two-edged sword. And it kind of reminds me of Hebrews 4, verse 12, where it says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This verse would be a good basis of a future study. That, you know, we talk about soul and spirit, how closely they are related. How it's, for us, it's almost hard to distinguish between soul and spirit. The Word of God can do it. It can discern between the thoughts and our intentions of our heart, that we may be able to hide from others those thoughts, those intentions, but not from God. It goes on to say, as with all of the seven letters, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. It's encouraging to them, it had to have been, to know that Jesus knows what they're going through. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you just don't know what I'm going through? We can't say that to Jesus. We can't say, oh, Jesus, you just don't know how people, you can't understand how people are treating me. You can't understand how the disrespect I was shown. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I can. And Jesus is saying, I know where you dwell, where you live. I know what you face every day when you walk out your doors. And you didn't deny me. And I am also aware that my faithful martyr, Antipas, he did not die without me being aware of it. He wasn't sacrificed just for nothing. There in Pergamos, there was a number of people that were killed, and we're going to look at that in Matthew 10. Antipas did exactly what Jesus had said in Matthew 10:33. In 32, he says, you must confess me before men. And if you do, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And in the very next verse, in verse 33, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Antipas didn't deny him. He made that confession. He died for it, but he made that confession, and he refused to deny his Lord and Savior. In Pergamos, they had a large brass bowl with an opening in the side that I guess they found amusing as a form of entertainment to execute people. They would put people inside, shut them up, and then light a fire under them. And they would die. They would burn to death. They would roast. And there was a megaphone at the bull's mouth. And the screams that would come out of it. That's how Antipas died, because he refused to deny God and Jesus. Jesus is aware of it. Goes on to say in verse 14, but I have a few things against you. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. What had happened is, in the churches, many people were bringing in practices from the outside culture. And obviously, there were some in the congregation here at Pergamos that were doing that very same thing, teaching that sexual immorality is not that bad, teaching that you can eat things sacrificed to idols, and they were putting stumbling blocks in front of the Christians. In Deuteronomy, this concept is not new to the New Testament. It's a concept that goes through the Bible from cover to cover. In Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 14, it says, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. We are given instructions on what to do and even why. In verse 15, back in Revelation, it says, thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. That's some strong language there by Jesus. You know, he's not pulling any punches. I hate this. The Nicolaitans were a cult. And some of the things that they were advocating is compromise. Blend the cultures for the sake of getting along. Have you ever heard that one before? Unity and diversity? It's the basis in our culture today of DEI. Assimilate. Can't you just get along? Yielding to sin. Making sin sugar-coated. When we start as Christians making sin sound not as bad as it says in the Bible, that's where we start going down a bad road. Amen. And Jesus is telling them, I have this against you. You've got many of the people of your congregation there in Pergamos that have remained faithful, but there are some of you that hold to these falsehoods, and you shouldn't. In 2 John chapter 1, the author of Revelation also writes, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You condone it. Now, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be part of this world. How do we go and teach others if we don't mingle amongst them? How do we go and be an influence on somebody? How do we sit down and study the gospel if we don't go amongst? There's a difference in that and taking it in, accepting it, allowing it, condoning it. And that's what John is saying here. When you start accepting that, you're condoning it. In Revelation, Jesus gives them the alternative. Repent. or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Here's this sword again that he's armed with. You have a choice, Pergamos. Repent of those things that I've told you. You're holding fast in many, even to the point of death. But I have this against you. You have a choice. Repent, or else I'm going to come and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. In Romans 12, Paul would write, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Jesus is going to come back and repay those for what they have done. In 2 Thessalonians, we see it here where Paul is writing, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest." With us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, with his mighty angels. And verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on two groups of people. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to make sure that we know God and that we are obeying the gospel that God has given us. And then Jesus ends up this letter to the church in Pergamos. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, to which no one knows except him who receives it." A lot of times it was, we kind of think of the concept of drawing straws. They would draw a stone. And the black stone meant execution. The white stone, you were saved. And Jesus knows where they live, where they dwell. "I'm going to give you, those of you that overcome, you will be given a white stone." In Matthew 10, 22, and I want to close up with this verse, Jesus explained to his followers, he says, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." And that's our purpose, is to endure to the end. Last week we looked in verse 10, Jesus said, be faithful until death, and they will receive a crown of life. Same concept. We have to endure to the end to get that white stone. The lesson is yours. You've got the outline. You can look at some of these verses this week in your private study. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayer, through identifying that you'd like to work and worship here with us at South Valley, if there's repentance that needs to be done, whatever your need, please come forward while we stand and Daryl leads us in song. Let's stand and sing.